From Spark and Anvil and Cypherforge, this is Rael, in Chapter 1 of the Cypherforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Rael stepped to the front of the Cypherforge workshop, her small frame radiating an organized energy. She was a cat tween, her soft gray, cream, and warm russet fur neatly groomed. Her quick, observant eyes scanned the room, taking in every detail, every student, with a practiced gaze. She liked things precisely arranged, a habit visible in her neat attire. A small folded card, its edges softened by use, peeked from her vest pocket. This was her transposition cipher card, a visual guide to the zigzagging lines and grids that defined her craft. "Good morning," she said, her voice clear and steady. "Today, we're going to talk about something profoundly different." She picked up a handful of wooden letter blocks from a nearby tray. "Last week, we explored substitution ciphers. Remember how those worked?" A few heads nodded in unison. A student named Pip, known for his quick answers, called out, "Like Caesar, changing A to D and so on." "Exactly," Rael confirmed, a faint, dry smile touching her lips. "You substitute one letter for another. The letters themselves change identity. This A block," she held it up, "becomes a D." She paused, allowing the previous lesson to settle in their minds. "But what if the letters don't change?" She tapped the A block with a claw. "What if A stays A and B stays B?"
The students exchanged puzzled glances. "Then it's not a cipher," Pip said, sounding genuinely confused. "It's just the message." Rael's smile widened slightly. "Not quite. What if we simply rearrange them?" She took the letter blocks, carefully spelling out a simple word, secret. S-E-C-R-E-T. Then, with quick, precise movements, she rearranged them into a new sequence, T-E-C-R-E-S. "All the original letters are still here," she pointed out, gesturing to the jumbled blocks. "Every single one. But their order is entirely new. This, friends, is the fundamental principle of a transposition cipher." She pulled out a small portable whiteboard from beneath the desk. On its surface, two horizontal lines were drawn, resembling a simple diagram. "Imagine these lines are rails on a fence," she explained. "A rail fence. We write our message zigzagging up and down across these rails." She demonstrated with the message, "Attack at dawn," writing it carefully. A dot dot A dot dot A dot dot N dot T dot C dot K dot T dot D dot W.
"Now," Rael continued, her finger tracing the lines, "to encrypt this message, we read across each rail row by row." She pointed to the top line, then the bottom. N, a student murmured, following her lead. TCKTW, another finished, piecing it together. Rael wrote the resulting ciphertext on the board, AAANTCKTW. She looked expectantly at the students. "Did any letter change its identity during this process?" "No," they chorused, a new understanding dawning. "Precisely," she affirmed. "The A's remain A's. The T's remain T's. This fact holds significant implications for how we attempt to break such a code." "Think back to substitution ciphers," Rael urged, her gaze sweeping the room. "If A always becomes D and E always becomes H, what powerful tool can we use to uncover the original message?"
Pip, ever ready, immediately offered, "Frequency analysis. We count how often each letter appears. E is the most common letter in English, so if H is the most common in the cipher, H is probably E." "Excellent, Pip," Rael praised. "But with transposition, all the letters retain their original identities. If we count the letters in AANATCKTW, we will find the exact same number of A's, T's, C's, K's, D's, W's, and N's as in the original message. Therefore,
frequency analysis fails completely against a pure transposition cipher. She let that statement hang in the air. The students murmured, some looking genuinely surprised by this unexpected twist. So, how do we attack it then? A quiet girl named Ren asked, her brow furrowed. Rael tapped her chin thoughtfully. We employ what we call anagram and word pattern attacks. If you have a relatively short ciphertext, you can try rearranging the letters until they form recognizable words. You look for common patterns, like the or and try to build from there. She glanced at her small card, then back at the class. It's like having a jumbled pile of stage props. A substitution cipher would transform the props entirely, turn a gleaming sword into a dusty broom. A transposition cipher simply moves the sword to a different, less obvious spot on the stage. The sword itself remains a sword.
Another common type of transposition is columnar transposition, Rael explained. She quickly drew a grid on the whiteboard. You write the message row by row into this grid, then reorder the columns based on a secret keyword. She briefly demonstrated with the message "Hello World" and a keyword like key, showing how the columns would be rearranged to create a new, jumbled sequence of letters. Again, she emphasized, same letters, new order. The identity of each letter is preserved. Only its position within the message changes. Rael leaned against the desk, a thoughtful expression on her face. My family, back in the village, were the stage arrangers, she shared. We set up all the seasonal plays. Every prop, every backdrop, each piece had its exact designated spot. Move a single chair, and the entire scene's meaning shifted. A king's throne placed centrally conveyed power. That same throne, pushed into a dark corner, suggested something else entirely. She looked around the room, making eye contact with each student. That's what transposition does. It rearranges the elements, and that rearrangement changes the message's meaning, or, in our case, hides it.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Rael. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.